We are studying through the New Testament book of Philippians. We're in chapter 2. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, let's ask for the Lord's help as we open this word together. Father, what a treasure it is to be together as your people, to sing your praises. You are the one who is worthy. Jesus, you are mighty to save. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, through your written word, would you transform lives today? Be at work in us, we pray. Mold us and shape us more into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would know you better, that we would reflect you more clearly, more accurately to a world who desperately needs to know you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
We've been looking at the self-emptying, the self-humbling of Christ. Throughout verses 5 to 8, the primary subject is Christ Jesus, who he is, what he did. Being equal to God, in the form of God, not clinging to his own equality with God, he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself by his obedience, even death on the cross. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus is the subject of the verbs, and it's reflexive. It's what he's doing himself. But in verses 9 to 11, the subject changes. No longer is Jesus the one doing the action. Now it's the Father. No longer is the action reflective, what he's doing to himself. Now it's what the Father is doing for another, for Jesus. Now God is acting on behalf of Jesus. In the first part, Christ is the subject of his own actions. The second part, Jesus is the object of his Father's actions. Jesus humbled himself. God super exalted Jesus. This super or above, this is a compound word, the super or the above prefix. It was also used back in verse 3 of this chapter, where we're told in humility to consider others as superior to or to ourselves, to hold them above ourselves. Here Jesus, having humbled himself, God exalted, not just exalted, but super exalted Jesus, or elevated him above. Not just elevated, but elevated above. This is a unique compound word that points to the highest possible exaltation. only place I believe it's found in the New Testament. But this unique word was used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Psalm 97, verse 9. Psalm 97 goes this way, Yahweh reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Cloud and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before Yahweh, before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Yahweh. For you, O Yahweh, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted, super exalted, far above all gods. Yahweh is sovereign. Yahweh, the covenant name of the God of the Old Testament. Yahweh is the Most High God. Yahweh is super exalted above all gods. And here in Philippians chapter 2, it says that the Father has super exalted Jesus. This verse starts with a therefore. Actually, this is not the ordinary word for therefore. This is a double conjunction, two connective words that can be translated, this is why. What's the connection? What's the connection between Jesus self-emptying, his self-humbling, and the Father exalting him? This is why connects Christ's self-humbling as the reason why his Father lifted him so high above. Super exalted him. Jesus himself taught that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 14, Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come to you and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We see Luke 18, we have the self-righteous religious guy, the Pharisee, who's, God, I thank you. I'm such a great person. I do all these good things. I'm not like this sinner. God says, it's the sinner who beat his breast and said simply, this simple cry of, I'm a sinner, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's the one who goes home justified, declared not guilty. Not the religious guy who thinks he's doing well. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself to receive a gift he doesn't deserve will be exalted. Jesus warned against the Pharisees in Matthew 23 that they love the places of honor at the feasts and the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. He says, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The true path to greatness is humility, selflessly serving others. Both James and Peter concur. James 4, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. He will lift you up. 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time He may exalt you, lift you up. We will never be super exalted. That position is for Jesus alone. But if we humble ourselves to receive the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased on the cross, we will be lifted up and enjoy relationship with Him forever. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and He is the judge. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say He is our God. Jesus is not pursuing His own glory. Jesus is pursuing the glory of His Father. And the Father is pursuing the glory of His only Son, Jesus. In anticipation of the cross, in John 12, Jesus answered them, the hour has come. Jesus is recognizing He is moving unstoppably toward the cross. The hour has come. How does He describe this? His crucifixion, His hour of greatest suffering. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Jesus seeking not his own glory, but the glory of the Father through his obedience, even to death, even death on a cross. He understood his own glory would be the glory of a grain of wheat. One who was willing to lose his life in order to find it. John 13, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. See, this glory is reciprocal. Jesus pursuing the glory of his Father. God pursuing the glory of the Son. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. See, Jesus had humbled himself by becoming a man, becoming human, becoming obedient even death on a cross. Two steps, massive steps down, equal with God, clothing himself in the form of a slave, being born in human form, dying a death of a common criminal. So the Father, in one massive step, super exalted his Son, Jesus. The author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, quotes Psalm 8. Psalm 8 begins and ends by celebrating the majesty of the name of Yahweh, who set his glory above the heavens. Psalm 8 marvels at God creating man in his own image, appointing man to reflect his own glory, to have dominion over all creation. Hebrews looks at Jesus as the perfect fulfillment of what man was meant to be. Hebrews 2 verse 5, it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. He's quoting Psalm 8. I appreciate that because sometimes I don't remember exactly where it is. It says somewhere. We've got Bible software that can help you find where and make sure you're not quoting something that's not in the Bible. A lot of people do that. Be careful. It's been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him, Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. Notice, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. See the substitutionary nature of Jesus' death? He didn't die because he needed to die. He died because I deserve to die. He tasted death in my place. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, God from all eternity who breathed the universe into existence, for whom it exists for his good pleasure. It exists to bring pleasure to Jesus, and he's the one who spoke it into existence, the Word who was with God and who was himself God. It was fitting that he, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, his death for others. Jesus made perfect or complete through suffering. Jesus, being fully God, was eternally perfect. But Jesus, the mediator, Jesus, the redeemer, Jesus, the man, in his role of bringing many sons to glory, had to humble himself to suffer death. Death on a cross in order to become that perfect mediator, that perfect redeemer. He became obedient even to death, to become the perfect man who perfectly obeyed his Father. Remaining what he was from all eternity God, he became what he had not been. He became a human who suffered and died in the place of others. We see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, the suffering servant will be high and lifted up precisely because of, he will be exalted precisely because of his suffering. God sets out to redeem his people from slavery, to vindicate the honor of his own great name. Isaiah 52, continually, all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of Yahweh to Zion. Amen. Break forth together in singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Yahweh rolled up his sleeves, bared his arm to put on display his salvation, to vindicate his own holy name. Isaiah 52 verse 13 says, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." The servant of Yahweh, high and lifted up, exalted, super exalted above all gods. How? Keep reading. "As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Being equal with God, he humbled himself by taking the form of a slave. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." The arm of Yahweh revealed how? Not in strength, but in weakness, in humility, in humanity. But humanity that was marred, disfigured, beaten, bloodied, bruised, and broken. Why? "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him," the suffering servant, "the iniquity of us all." He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Before Pilate, "Defend yourself, all these charges against you." He humbled himself to not defend himself. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. This was not legitimate. Pilate himself declared 3 times, "I find no guilt in this man. I find no reason to put him to death." By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken, why? For the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of Yahweh to crush him. He has put him to grief. This servant of Yahweh came to do not his own will, but the will of him who sent him. And that will was suffering as a substitute, submitting himself to griefs, to sorrows. He became a lamb led to the slaughter. The lamb who takes away my sin. Isaiah 53 verse 10, when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. I have no righteousness of my own. Paul will talk about that in Philippians. I count my righteous deeds, my accomplishments as crap in the sight of God. It's offensive. He uses an offensive term. In Isaiah 53, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Righteous one, my servant, will make many to be accounted righteous. His righteousness credited to my account. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's a gift. I'm clothed in his perfect righteousness. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, because the suffering servant suffered under the hand of Almighty God for sins not his own. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong because he poured out his soul to death. He emptied himself by becoming human, by taking the form of a slave. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Therefore, God is satisfied with the anguish of his soul because he poured out his soul to death. Therefore, Yahweh will divide him a portion, give him the spoil, give him reward in humility, in his wisdom. He will be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. Isaiah began his book by saying in chapter 2, the haughty looks of man shall be brought low. The lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. The haughtiness of man shall be humbled. The lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Yahweh alone. Christ Jesus, who though he was, existed in for all eternity, the form of God, shared God's glory as the only God who is at the Father's side. He did not count his equality with God a thing to be clutched, grasped, held onto, but emptied himself. How? By taking the form of a servant, hiding his divine glory behind human skin, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. If that step wasn't massive enough, he humbled himself yet again by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Death not for his own sins, but for mine. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, here today, every knee would bow to you, Jesus. God from all eternity, become one of us remaining what you were, still fully God, an additional nature you never had before, having become a human being. As a legitimate human being, God, the God-man, you could legitimately stand in my place and take the punishment that I deserve. So that I could enjoy the relationship with your Father that you deserve. That you've always enjoyed. Somehow on the cross you experienced separation from your Father. You experienced the hell that I deserve. So that I could be reconciled to a God who loves sinners but must punish sin. Thank you, Jesus, for standing in my place, for being my substitute, for taking my place, for bearing my guilt, my shame on the cross. I have no righteousness of my own to contribute. All I can say is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And thank you that you can be just, holy, righteous, and the justifier, the one who declares not guilty, the sinner who simply believes in Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for washing me clean, for wiping out the record of debt that stood against me. Thank you for nailing that to your cross. Thank you that we can stand together, saints made holy by the blood of Jesus, enjoying fellowship communion with you today. Help us to never forget what it cost you. Help us to savor, to treasure, to enjoy the blood-bought relationship we possess today, the eternal life we enjoy today as believers in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to move into a time of communion, communing with God, receiving from Him and enjoying His presence, His relationship, communion with one another as the body of Christ. I'm going to invite some of the men to come and prepare to serve communion, to distribute these simple things, bread and juice. The bread pictures Jesus' body torn and crushed and broken on the cross for me. The blood points to the juice points to His blood poured out on the cross to wash a sinner clean. And if you're a believer in Jesus, if you've come to Jesus and Jesus alone as your only hope, if you've come simply not as a self-righteous Pharisee saying, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other sinners, I'm not as bad as all these wretches that are sitting around me. Instead to say, you know what, I don't deserve anything but hell, but God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you've never come to that place, I'd invite you. God is mighty to save. Simply cry out to Jesus today and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And He will. He'll forgive you. He'll wash you clean. He'll make you new. He'll make you a new creation in Christ. He'll change you from the inside out. He'll give you a new heart and new desires. So this is an opportunity for those who are believers in Jesus, who are trusting only and completely in the finished work of Jesus on the cross for our salvation, for us to commune with the God of the universe. Jesus has opened up a way for us to have a relationship with the Father through His flesh, broken and torn on the cross. So if you're a believer, you're welcome to take, receive bread and juice. Hold that in your hand and reflect on what Jesus is for you. The price He paid for you. Enjoy the relationship you have with the Father today because of what Jesus did. Once we've all been served, we'll give thanks and take that together as a body of believers. did for the likes of me. Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself, for leaving your Father's side, for pursuing sinners like us, for paying our price in full. Thank you for the gift that we don't deserve, we could never earn. God who forgives sinners based on the finished work of our Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening blind eyes to see the cross for what it truly is. We commune with you today because of the way opened up through the veil, the body, the flesh of Jesus, torn open so that we could enjoy fellowship with God today. Thank you for the fellowship, the communion that we enjoy. We remember, Jesus, what it cost you. And we say thank you and we receive a good gift from your hand. His body broken for you. Take it, eat. His blood poured out to wash sinners clean, to make us new. Drink.